Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and with me today is Sharon Epps, the Executive Vice President of Content and Media for Crown Financial Ministries. And Sharon, welcome to the studio.
I'm glad to be here in the new year.
We're going to talk about one of the most frequent topics that I get asked about as the host of Money Life, and that is, how do you get on the same page with your spouse when it comes to money and marriage?
I thought that just happened because you were in love.
Well, it certainly helps to be in love because people quickly discover that the person they're married to, they don't completely know. And everybody that writes me thinks, I'm married to a complete opposite, and they somehow think that's unique.
Well, you know, I can't help but think of Larry Burkett, our co-founder, and what he would always say about marriage, and that is, if you're both alike, then one of you is not necessary.
Well, amen to that, because I'm married to a complete opposite. She'd be the first to tell you that we are really, really different people, but I thank God for my opposite, because as I think it was Ruth Graham who described her marriage to Billy Graham as being happily incompatible.
Don't you love that? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, they're incompatible, but really happy about it because God uses that to strengthen us. Now, Sharon, we're going to talk about money and marriage today. It is a topic that impacts so many of our listeners. And before we do, tell us a little bit about your family. You're married and you're living this out.
I am. My husband, Joel, could not be any more opposite than I am. I'm fairly ordered and he is very right-brained. In fact, he's a professional musician and a children's ministry person and loves to work in the area of creativity. And what I've learned through the years is that if we'll embrace our differences, God actually allows both of us to modify and learn from each other, and it's so much fun.
Well, Sharon, you and Joel also have lots of kiddos as well, so let's let our audience know about that.
We have four children, age ranges 28 to 12, two married, one engaged, and one in middle school. So we've been down the road, not only personally, but in helping our children as they've entered this new phase of life of marriage.
Well, this topic extends not only to those who are married today, but those who are considering getting married. And then some advice that you'll hear today will help you to give wise counsel to your children that are married. So I think it's going to be a very rich experience for our listeners.
They will learn a lot.
Well, you're listening to Money Life. Today's topic is money and marriage. We'll take a quick break and be back with more from Sharon Epps.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today I'm here with Sharon Epps, the Executive Vice President of Content and Media for Crown Financial Ministries. And Sharon, we've produced a wonderful series called the Money Life Basic Series. And one of the booklets in that series is on the topic of money and marriage. And we're going to go through it today.
You know what? We have in this book tools that will assist you not only in the practical steps of how do you arrange a marriage so that your finances work, but even looking at your attitudes and your thought processes.
Sharon, it's been my observation that people discover that they're married to an opposite and they think that that's wrong or something's very surprising to them about that. In fact, oftentimes they write me and they're shocked, like, who is this person that I fell in love with? But there's a major difference between being engaged and being married. In engagement, you can talk about everything. And most of the time we talk about all that we have in common, and we feel so endeared to one another over those issues. But you don't have to make decisions when you're engaged. Now, when you get married, everything is a decision. And suddenly, it's not just your decision. You have to ask the other person what kind of toothpaste you're going to buy, because one may like one brand and another a different brand. And so it requires a decision. And that's where we find out, wow, we're really different people.
It goes from theory to practical application. And we, in our marriage, talk about our Hunts and our Heinz argument at the very first days of our marriage. We liked different kinds of ketchup. And even though that seems so silly, that particular day when I brought Hunts home and Heinz was the expectation, it actually escalated into a fairly tense discussion about what
type of ketchup
we wanted.
Absolutely. Well, that's the difference between being engaged and being committed in a marriage, where you've got to learn to make decisions together. It reminds me of tennis. When you play singles tennis, you're making your own decisions. You're going to decide how to serve, where to be on the court, the strategy of your own game. But when you play doubles, you've got to consider your partner and change your strategy. And that's what this book gets into, is how to get on the same page, because that's when you can start to be effective as a couple, because God designed us that two would become like one. Two people would become able to play like one player.
And, you know, these issues are so much more important than what brand of ketchup or even what your moves are on the tennis court, because they impact not only your marriage, but your generations to come.
Sharon, I have a story that sets up the need for this topic in such a pointed fashion. In fact, it's almost extreme. But I had a friend who performed the marriage ceremony for a wonderful couple. They both had master's degrees, and they'd been married for 6 months. And he called me and said, "You help people with their finances, right?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "I want you to help this couple. They're really struggling." Well, they came to see me, sat in the same room, and here was the story. In 6 months' time, they were $250,000 in unsecured consumer debt underwater.
I can't even imagine that
in 6 months. And I said, "Well, tell me your story. What happened?" And it turns out that the man had deceived his bride into thinking he had money. And to put up the front, he put everything on credit card, including her wedding ring, including all their honeymoon, including all of their new clothes, including all the furniture they purchased for their house. They borrowed the money from her father to buy a house. They owed her father. They owed everybody in town. And he was working on straight commission and missed a pay period because he had no commissions. And he was found out 6 months into the marriage. How would you like to start there?
What a difficult way to start your life together.
Oh, my goodness. It was really, really terrible, and took a great deal of prayer and counsel just to get them on the same page. And what they discovered is they had completely different ideas about money. We had to rebuild the trust first and then get on the same page. And this little booklet takes people through an important exercise to understand how to get on the same page. And the first exercise is really just to determine your different perspectives or attitudes about things like selfishness versus cooperation.
And, you know, we sometimes think as Christians that we need to cooperate on every single thing. But sometimes there's areas that if we agree as a couple, we have the ability to say, "This is the way I would like to do this." But the very important thing is that you've talked through it and you agree on what those areas are. What are we going to cooperate on together? And what are some things maybe that I'm going to do differently just because that works well for our family?
Well, it's an area where we discover our differences. And oftentimes we start to cast stones and we say, "I'm married to a selfish person," or "I'm married to someone who just won't listen or cooperate." But the Bible actually addresses that issue head on to both parties. I think this is probably the most practical explanation of problems in a marriage that in the entire Bible. James 4:1, "What causes fights and quarrels among you?" Okay? What causes them? You know the answer, don't you, Sharon?
I do.
"Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it." And that's when the fight starts. Your example of Heinz versus Hunts ketchup. Mm-hmm. Joel wanted his kind of ketchup. You wanted your kind of ketchup. And two people couldn't both get their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to learn to cooperate. And the Bible tells us that cooperation begins with relinquishing this sense of I have my own rights and you have to agree with my way.
That's absolutely true. And you know what? When you are creative in the way that you cooperate, sometimes you're still able to do things your way, but you've agreed on how to do it. And I can use a practical example from our marriage. The agreement on whether or not clothes are hung up or possibly dropped somewhere was an ongoing discussion in our marriage for a while until we made the agreement that they could be dropped somewhere, but if that somewhere were the closet versus the living room or the bedroom, we would get along really famously. And literally, for the entire length of our marriage, that's been an agreement. We've cooperated on the agreement, but yet each individual's been able to have their own space.
I'm so glad you're now dropping those clothes in the closet, Sharon. I have the feeling it wasn't you that had to be corrected on that one.
We'll protect the innocent here.
What's another attitude that helps couples get on the same page if they'll just analyze this one?
This is such a big one, and that is pride, whether we're being prideful versus having an humble attitude as we approach issues in our marriage. And so often, because of the fact that it's important for us to feel loved and embraced, sometimes that can even become a pride issue. I want you to be proud of me or invest in me versus approaching problems with humility and listening first to what your spouse has to say.
Well, we're going to talk more about this very important topic of money and marriage and how to get on the same page with your spouse. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
A successful business in a challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes wisdom. The kind of wisdom that can only come from the time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills found in the Bible. Authored by financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring, borrowing and lending, tithing on business income, and much more. Whether you're a startup, an established firm, or you work for someone else, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you with wisdom from God's Word. To purchase your copy of Business by the Book or to learn more about other business tools and resources, go to crown.org. That's crown.org. Or call us at 1-800-722-1976. Begin building a biblical foundation for business success today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps, and we're talking about how to get on the same page with your spouse when it comes to this topic of money and marriage. And Sharon, we're taking this directly from our Money Life Basic Series.
The book is called Marriage and Children. We focus on half the book in building your marriage, half the book on your children. And today we're looking at those aspects that help you build oneness in your marriage.
Well, we left off with talking about attitudes that divide us. And one of them is pride versus humility. And so often spouses write me and it goes something like this. My husband or my wife is so prideful and I'm the humble one. And how do I fix that? Well, I can tell you from the beginning, that's not going to fix it. A man is wired by God to need respect. And so even if he's got a pride problem, if you approach that with disrespect, it's just going to get worse. So somebody's got to start with the attitude of, I'm here to help. And then let's get on the same page. And the easiest way is for you, whoever it may be, to start. To be the first one to extend humility to the other party.
You know, it really is. In fact, one of the most helpful things you can do is to set aside your desires for a moment and just ask your spouse, how can I serve you? How can I help you in this area? And really be willing to listen.
Well, I think one of the most poignant moments on this broadcast in 2009 came when Candy Hildebrandt expressed the attitude of humility. She shared her story that she discovered they were $106,000 in unsecured debt and that her husband had not told her that. And her main concern was to absorb the pain of that without being critical judgmental or condemning of the spouse that she so deeply loved. And she walked through that, preserved their marriage, and got out of the financial bind through her leadership driven by humility.
You know, I think especially with the economic times that we've had this last year and people that are unemployed and financial challenges that they're facing, this could be one of really the keys that help us preserve our marriages. And that is the willingness to say, what practical things can I do to show respect to my spouse and to honor my spouse no matter what our circumstances are?
Absolutely, Sharon. Here's another one that keeps us from being on the same page. One party in the marriage wants to be generous. The other party thinks that's a bad idea.
You know what? We've done our marriage studies and research. It is almost always the case that one spouse is just naturally more generous than the other. And part of working through that is willing to come together and listen to the perspective of the saver and the hoarder versus the giver. And usually there's one spouse that has an angle either way in your marriage.
Well, I'm empathetic with that because the generous person tends to think the other person is greedy.
Yes.
And they condemn them. Well, in fact, the other person sometimes may just be very conservative. They may be maybe even more wise, and they're trying to save money for the future, and they don't want to give everything away. And so we need to acknowledge that they may have a point, be cooperative and humble, and learn from them. And sometimes it is driven by fear, and that fear is due to a lack of faith in Christ. But talk through that, because there is a way to agree on how your family is going to approach this whole topic of generosity.
And let me mention here that sometimes these are a little bit difficult to wade through. Is my spouse a saver, or are they really a hoarder? And so we have tools available to help you. In fact, we have an online marriage assessment that allows you to look into these issues from an objective perspective and help you as spouses take an inventory to see where am I and where are the areas that we could improve.
Well, Sharon, for people who want to take that inventory, how would they get a hold of it?
You can access it on crown.org. And in fact, look at the related content for today's program and we'll give you the information on connecting with it.
You know, I just want to issue an invitation to any of our listeners who take that assessment and are using it to get on the same page with your spouse to let us know. And I would be very interested in hearing your story, possibly sharing it as a form of encouragement to our other listeners, because it is an area where there's a great deal of pain. Here's another attitude, Sharon. Usually in a marriage, there's somebody who is deliberate, measured, cautious, careful, and another one who is disorganized, spontaneous, a little bit lackadaisical, and drives the other person nuts.
I have to just smile at this one because this is one that we've worked through for years, but it's such a joy to learn from each other. It's helpful to have a planner, but it's also helpful to be spontaneous sometimes. And it's having that agreement on the areas that are very important to us to plan and then giving some margin for spontaneity.
Well, when there's a difference like that, that truly gets on the other person's nerves, and that really is what happens. It begins to offend the other person, and it begins to feel like that you don't love me because you don't operate like I operate. What I began to see is that you need to start to love that person for the gifts that they have and what they bring into the marriage that you don't have. Because as you said, oftentimes the disorganized, the spontaneous person can be just absolutely wonderful at bringing levity and joy and great memories into the family. And we have to see that as a benefit to our marriage, not as a liability.
Whereas if you never have a plan at all, sometimes you don't move ahead or get the things done that you need to. So if you're the spontaneous person, valuing that spouse that adds a little bit of structure and adds a little bit of organization can help your family move forward.
Well, I recommend that you look at the person who has the best giftedness in a certain area of your finances and let them do that. Usually the organized person is much better at paying the bills on time than the disorganized person. So let them do it. But you're going to have to make your contribution in another way to the family finances. And maybe you're better at making money. So divide it up between offense, making money, and defense, saving and conserving money, and let that person use their giftedness for how God made them.
And it helps to be partners in that way.
Absolutely. Well, you're listening to Money Life. Today's topic is money and marriage and how to get on the same page with your spouse. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. Want to use your home computer to help you manage your money God's way? Well, all you need is Crown Money Map Financial Software from Crown Financial Ministries. With Crown Money Map Financial Software, you can create a realistic spending plan and use a virtual envelope system to follow daily. And since it's based on the Crown Money Map, the software will help you build up your emergency fund, pay off debts, create balanced budgets, manage investments, and complete other steps that'll move you forward on your financial journey. Crown Money Map Financial Software is loaded with features to make living on a spending plan easy and secure, including the ability to import transactions from your bank so you don't have to enter them individually. Crown Money Map Financial Software is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. For specific system requirements or for a free trial version, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976 for more information. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today, I'm with Sharon Epps, the Executive Vice President of Content and Media for Crown Financial Ministries, and we're talking about how to get on the same page with your spouse when it comes to money and marriage. And Sharon, all this information that we're talking about is contained in our Money Life Basic Series booklet.
I would encourage you to check it out. It has these tips as well as some very practical ways that you can work out these decisions.
Sharon, I like to say in marriage that conflict is a given. It's just going to happen. The way you resolve it is the variable. There are choices that we make in how we resolve conflict, and that's a real big issue in marriages.
It is, and unfortunately, we wait until we're in the middle of conflict to decide how that will work. And I really encourage those that are engaged and newly married, and even those that have been married for a while, to choose a time that they can really talk about the way that they grew up, how they saw their parents manage conflict, and how they want to do it differently, or what they want to learn from the positive example they saw.
Absolutely. I remember early in our marriage, I sat down with Dan and I said, you know, I don't believe this saying I grew up with. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Words do hurt. And let's be very careful with what we say to each other, and let's not ever call each other a name. And we just sort of set some ground rules, and we've lived those out. Another rule we decided to live by was to not let the sun go down on our anger, so the devil would get a foothold. So if we were angry, it was a non-negotiable. We had to talk about it. And that made my wife uncomfortable. I was much more willing to just jump in there and talk about it. She wanted to think about it for a long time sometimes. But that helped us to really work through our disagreements.
Well, the worst time to plan how to disagree is when you're in a disagreement. So be proactive and take some time and talk through some of those ground rules.
And so often when we're trying to resolve conflict, if we'll just use a gentle word or sometimes no word at all. In fact, my pastor has a saying that you can improve your marriage immediately by not saying three things every single day that you want to blurt out of your mouth. Just hold back on three of those things and your marriage will improve. And I think he's right.
I think he is too.
Well, Sharon, thanks for being with me today. What are some of the ways that we can help couples be successful in this journey to get on the same page and to stay there?
You know, we have online Money Map coaches as well as coaches out in your area that are equipped with bringing you together, bringing you into the Word of God, and giving you practical help. So I would encourage you, if this is an area that you're challenged in, that you don't feel like you can work out on your own, to contact one of our Money Map coaches to help walk you through this process.
Well, and if you have a spouse that just is not going to do that, they're uncooperative, they're unmoving, then I would recommend that you invite them to get involved with a Crown Life Group study at your local church. Ask them to participate in a group event where they maybe don't feel quite so intimidated like a one-on-one.
And in addition, this Marriage and Children book and our Money Life Basics series can be a wonderful tool to just help you start that conversation.
Well, we hope this has been helpful to you. It's been great having you on the journey today. You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.